halacha over here. When the middle of the story, a man marries a woman, and he issues a complaint that she is not a besuah. He marries a woman, there's a year gap between the eres and the nisuin, and in between the eres and the nisuin, then a year comes, and when the year comes, he makes this accusation that she lived with another man in between the eres and the nisuin. The parents of the girl come forward and they prove that he's a liar. How do they prove it? Doesn't say. That we learned yesterday, the machlokes between Rashi and Unkelus, how he proves it. According to Rashi, it doesn't say. Circumstantial evidence. Prove it, witnesses, this, that, whatever it does, that the Torah leaves out. When it says in the pasuk, "Farsu hasimla," it means that they make it clear. Just like a garment is white, the way we learned it in the English, it says white, so till they prove that the garment is white, so till they prove it to be correct. According to Unkelus, it means they bring the sheet, the bed sheet. Okay, this was a technique that was used in the ancient times. They preserved the bed sheet in order to prove that she was a besur. Okay, so machlekes, a very, very fundamental, very powerful machlekes, Rashi and Unkelus, as to the translation of the word simla. Now, pasuk yichet says, v'lochu zigne ho'ir hi'asur ish v'yishur. So now what do they do next? They take the man, and now that he's a lawyer, and v'yisru oisai, what does that mean? Rashi says, malkos. He gets 40 lashes, which really is 39 lashes. Okay, v'yisru oisai. Rabbi Leizer Bachi, we welcome Rabbi Leizer Bachi to the Beis Medrash. Greetings, good evening. Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Leizer Bachi. Welcome. Okay, you know, Mayor Appeldorf, he asked his daughter, Tamari, what's Leizer Bachi's last name? And I was supposed what's Leizer's last name? She goes, Bachi. Asking, he'll come asking, I'll tell him. We'll see. V'lochu ziknei ha'ir ha'hi eso ish v'yisru oisai malkas. Rashi says malkas. What does he mean in the Targum? V'yidabrun savi karta. V'yidbirun. I guess that means they take the savi, the elders of the city, v'hi yos gavra, v'yalkun yosei, and it says exactly what it says over here in Rashi. It says the word v'yisru doesn't mean, yisru means chastisement. Okay, it says over here, it's interesting, we hear that in the English of the Sefari, it says flog. Okay, flog him. Flog, I guess, what does it mean the word flog?
Malkus.
Malk, right. It means the whip, an old-fashioned word for whip. No one knows what that word is anymore today. Flog is to whip. But it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Yisru. Yisru, that literally means Yisurim, to torture, waterboarding. They who knows what they do to him? They hang him up upside down and they prick him with needles. Who knows what it means? All it says is the Yisru. The English translator has taken the liberty to inject Torah Shebal Peh into the translation, and that's why he says over here, the Yisru here, his flog, and that's exactly what Rashi says. Malkois, and that's exactly what the Targum says. Targum says the Yalkon. The Targum over here is a Chiddush, because it's not a Chiddush, Rashi. Rashi is always telling Torah Shebal Peh. The Chiddush is the Chiddush is the Targum. Now, this is going to be a problem for me, for us. What's the problem? Because I always like to present this idea that Rashi has no desire to Rashi's writing a Sefer on Unkelus. Rashi is not writing an independent sefer. Rashi is just coming to clarify Unkelus. Unkelus says something, Rashi will say you got it wrong, or you got it right, or something a little different, and maybe embellish it. Generally, if Unkelus got it right, Rashi does not comment. Rashi basically is saying, see what it says in the Unkelus, and that's it, we're done, let's go weiter. So here, we got a problem, because over here, it says over here in Unkelus, V'yalkun. Yalkun means Malkus. So what is Rashi coming to add that we don't already know? See, Rashi Rashi's always coming to, you know, to pick up on something that's bothering him. So I don't know exactly, but let's not exactly, but perhaps there's a chiddush here that the word v'yalkun, although I've been translating as malchus, maybe the word v'yalkun does not necessarily mean malchus. It means, there's halachic malchus, and then there is what we call makas mardus. Yalkun means to beat up. Yalkun, it's not necessarily a halachic term. Yalkun means you hit the person. It doesn't necessarily mean that you give the person halachic malchus. So let me see what it says over here in the sefer. It says here, this is Pasuk Yud Ches 18, V'yalkun, Kosev Rashi, Yisum Loshon Malkus, V'chei Peresh Rashi Kano, P'yashas, V'amash Kosev L'el, Motzid Yosir Shul Loshon Hako. See, Avi means to hit. Okay, so I think that's a little bit of a chiddush to say this. If we would ever write a sefer on Targum, that's what we would write about this Rashi. This very fact that Rashi feels it necessary. How did I get a green? See these green lines over here? How did I do that? How did those green lines come here? Did I do that or someone else did that? And these green lines? How did I do that? Someone did it? Laser, you know how you do that? How did I get those green lines there? I'm lazy. Oh, Laser, you did this? You know how to do this? This is skill. Okay, but I don't think I can do this or like this. Do you see this what I'm doing? Do you see the red on the screen?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. I can do that now. Maybe we can. What's this mouse? What's this? What is this? No, I don't know what that is. Okay, so now we'll do it. What's stamp? What's this? Stamp. How do you do it? What is this? Stamp. Put over here. Check mark. Oh, look at that check mark. Look at that. Okay, all these funny things you can do over here. Okay. All right. You know what else you can do? Wasting time over here. I'll show you some funny things you can do over here also. Draw a spotlight. You can put on a hat, and someone said over here. All right, let's clear everything over here. Clear all drawings. Okay. So here it says the word v'yalkun. The word v'yalkun, let me get the draw over here. Draw. Okay, we have over here, draw with a pen, like this. Okay, v'yalkun, this word v'yalkun means, it doesn't necessarily mean to hit. It doesn't necessarily mean malchus. What it means is to hit. Rashi therefore comes along and clarifies, that the word yalkun means mamish malchus arboy. It means 40 lashes. Malchus. Malchus is a halachic term. So, you know, it could very well be, you know, now that we're thinking about it, maybe there is a machlekes between Rashi and Unkelus. Maybe according to Unkelus, it says v'yisru. This is not a malchus arboim. This is bezdin. They bring the person, you're a liar, and they beat him up. And according to Rashi says, no, this person now is chayif malchus arboim. It's a halachic malchus, which means exactly 39 lashes. And as they give the 39 lashes, they say the pasuk three times, v'hu rachum yichaper v'n v'lo yashchis. And when they give it to him, they take off his clothing. They take off his shirt, and he has to lie down in a certain position. And then when they whip him, there's a whole technique in how they do this. All of those halachas are all said regarding a halachic lash malchus. But if they're just going to go...
What is stump hitting?
What?
According to Unkelus, what is stump hitting?
It's up to Bezdin. It's up to Bezdin. Up to Bezdin. Up to Bezdin. Whatever they want to go do. There's no halacha. It's up to Bezdin. Bezdin, they want to hit him five times. Whatever Bezdin feels is warranted. They want to hit him five times. Tell him five times. They want to hit him with a belt. With leather. They want to hit him with they want to hit him with metal. Whatever they want to go do. They have to hit him. What exactly are the laws? So the question is this a din of malchus? Because the truth is, it's not. I think that's very difficult, because generally, malchus is given for of the violation of a loy sa'aseh. When a person violates a loy sa'aseh with hasra, you have to be warned. There are many details that go into giving halachic malchus. You have to be warned. And the person has to say, I know it's wrong, I'm going to do it anyway. And there has to be two witnesses. And then there's a process. Then they have to evaluate him if he's able to withstand 39 lashes. The Chazal said that giving 39 lashes, basically, it's sakonis nefoshes. He can actually die. So they have to first have a doctor evaluate him. In the case over here, at face value, it does not appear there are witnesses. No one ever went to this man and said, we're warning you, if you're going to now make an accusation against your wife that she was mezane between the erisim and the nesuin, and it comes out that you're a liar, you're going to get whipped. It doesn't seem that's the case. That's not the way it goes. A man goes and he gets upset.
Why didn't they say, before he testifies, you know, be careful what you say, because it's proven you're lying or what this will happen.
So, Enochanami, according to Rashi, that's what it seems like. It seems that what you're saying is true according to Rashi. But is that really the way it happens? The way the Torah over here is going out of its way to tell you a whole story. Now, the Torah doesn't tell stories. It is loisil ba shadnes. Don't wear shadnes. It doesn't tell you of a story. A guy goes and he sees a garment and he likes it. And they warn him, you know, maybe they're shadnes. The Torah just says, this is the law, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't eat basar b'chalav. Here we have a whole story. Gets married.
Tell them, if you do wear shatnez, you will get
malchus.
There is an etzara.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But here, it does not appear from the reading of the psukim that we're dealing with a situation where there's a story over here. A guy gets married. And then he discovers, oh, may I figure out how to do this also now. A guy gets married, and he discovers that he makes an accusation. It does not appear to be that we are fulfilling over here all of the legal details that ordinarily are associated with the sugya of Malchus Harboy. So therefore, Rashi is a chiddush. Oh, this guy, he turns out he's a lawyer. How do you know he's a lawyer? How do you know? Doesn't even say circumstantial evidence. That's not enough to give malchus. In order to get punished in Bezdin, you ordinarily have to have witnesses. How do you have witnesses that she was not mezane? There are too many questions over here. It would be much more comfortable to learn the pshat and the pasuk. We have a person, they got married. A year later, all of a sudden, there are rumors in the street that this guy's making accusations against his wife that she was mezane. They call him in. Is it really true that you went and you said, yeah, I said that. He admits he said it. And then the parents, they bring circumstantial evidence. We don't have absolute proof, but Bezdin already gets the impression by analyzing what's going on that the guy's a liar. That's enough. What is it enough for? To give him the biblical malchus? L'chor not. Bezdin wants to go and give him a punch in the face. That they can do. See, Rashi, it says, Targum says, Targum's words are, V'yishu oiso, V'yalkun. Yalkun does not necessarily mean, Malkois arboim. Rashi maybe didn't like it. Rashi says, wrong. They don't just take the law to their own hand and do it and just give him a punch, or go and beat him, give him a zetz 10 times. No, Rashi says, Malkois. Malchus is a halachic term, which means we follow all the rules, whatever the rules are in this case. Okay, this is a suggestion. We're learning over here, Rashi and Unkelus. We're trying to show there's a relationship between Rashi and Unkelus. And Rashi is always coming to pick up on something that is bothering him in Unkelus. Someone put out a sefer. They have, I think, many volumes. What is bothering Rashi? There's an English sentence from what is bothering Rashi? And he has all these pulling. I don't know this. I once looked at it for a few minutes. I don't know anything about the Sefer. But over here, now we're in our little group over here. When we ask the question, what is bothering Rashi? It's not just Stam. There's a difficulty in the pasuk. Rashi, what's bothering Rashi can be found in Unkelus. Rashi is primarily coming to comment on the words of Unkelus. Rashi sees something Unkelus said, he's coming to say you're wrong. Or he's coming to say you're right, or he's coming to elaborate. So over here, I don't know what this means. Obviously, if the Pasuk he adds a word into the Pasuk, does not say, it says over here in Unkelus, this says V'yisru. Yisru ordinarily is a general term for suffering. They will bring suffering upon this person. Unkelus says the suffering comes in the form of a yalkon. Along comes Rashi with more precision. He says, Malkus. Is Rashi coming to clarify? Is Rashi coming to argue? I don't know. Both of them, Rashi and Unkelus, did not say the word V'yisru means to bring upon him suffering. Maybe it means that they're not going to give him a koil check. They're going to cause him to suffer. Until now he was getting a koil check. They cancel the koil check. So he's in a lot of trees, he's very upset. Maybe he was supposed to get, in business, he was supposed to get back from the government for his taxes. He's supposed to go get a refund. Nope, we cancel it. What does it mean, V'yisru? It means physical suffering? Is it a halachic physical suffering? Okay, that's the question. Next. The Yonshu is, so the next thing over here is Yonshu, they're going to punish him. It's not enough to go and hit him. The unjoy say Meo Kesef, 100 silver coins. The Nasnu Lavi Hanada, who gets the money? The money does not go to the girl, the money goes to her father. We're dealing over here, this case, by the way, the Gemara says that the case of Motzi Shemra is, according to one opinion, is only in the age between 12 years and 6 months. It's a 6 month period in the life of the girl. All of these halachas over here only apply if this thing is done between the age of 12 and 6 months, the girl. So this way, that's what the Gemara makes a drash. I forgot the drash at this moment. But the unshu oisulig to punish him, mea kesef, who gets the money? The money goes to her father. She does not get the money. She's still a minor. She's not yet 12 years and 6 months. Her father married her off. Who gets the money? The father gets the money. V'nasnu, they punish him 100 silver coins. Who gets the money? V'nasnu lavi hanara. Why? Why is he being punished? Ki because haitzi shem ra. He went and he put upon this woman a shem ra, a bad reputation. Al besulas Yisrael. Upon a girl who is truly a besula. He lied and said upon her that she's not a besula. Now what's the next part of the penalty? V'loi. And to him, Sihiel Isha, if she wants to remain married, for whatever the reason, why would she want to remain married? He's a liar. He said that she's not a psula. So he has betrayed her. Why would she still want to remain married to this fellow? I don't know. Life is very strange. It's a very strange thing. You have a girl, she's a young girl, only 12 years and 6 months. She has a whole life ahead of her. And now this man went and was Motzi Shemra, so he already betrayed her. Could you imagine what he'll do to her the rest of his life? He'll go, who knows what he'll do to her? So, and yet, no, I want to remain married. I like him. Some people like to suffer. V'loy siel isha. Lo yuchal l'shalcho kol yama, but he's never allowed to divorce her his entire life if she wants to marry him. This parsha is shocking, shocking chidushim. Because the Torah, he can never divorce this woman, which means he has an obligation to the rest of his life to provide she'er, kisus, ve'oina. You know, lahavdil elef alfei havdalos, Christians, Catholics, there's no such thing as divorce. Right? Every single one of them is in the geder of lo yuchal l'shalcha kol yamav. Right? Even though they do it all the time anyway. What do they care, right?
Annulment.
The whole thing about them is a joke anyway. What about Princess Diane? Well, she didn't get divorced. How did she get out of the marriage? How did they get out of the marriage? Okay, what's going on over here? Well, you call the shachal call you. Okay, and it's been proven in history because of the Goyim, because of the Catholics, the Chochma Satorah. The Chochma Satorah, this is a very common discussion, is the Torah gives a man and a woman a way out. The Torah gives rules, and it's not here to harm anyone. It's only for a person's benefit. And the Torah says, you're married, and there's a parsha to get. If it doesn't go, it doesn't go. There's a way out. And the Goyim I don't know, I thought they also have, they have some semblance of the Old Testament, the Chesed, I don't know. And they decided they know better. And they created in their religion such a thing where there's no way out. And it's been one of the greatest sources of disaster for them, for their religion. To the point where, I mean, today obviously this no one could care less when it's these rules, they do whatever they want anyway. But it, you know, once one thing is proven to be ridiculous, so too the whole thing is ridiculous, the whole religion. The Torah, its incredible chokhmah, gave a person a way out. Therefore, when you read this pasuk, it's an incredible chiddush. It's an incredible chiddush. This man, he went, and he says about his wife that she's a ba'ula, and now we're going to punish him. There are three types of punishment. Number one, they whip him. They take off his clothing, they lie him down, they tie him up, and they give him 40 lashes, which according to Chazal, if they would give him the 40th lash, he would die. So basically, they torture him to death. Next thing is hand over the money. 100 silver coins, a fortune of money. And number two, you can never divorce this woman for the rest of your life if she still wants to be married to you. We're going to give you a second chance after we've tortured you. And after we make you pay this enormous amount of money, which is going to go to her father, you've learned your lesson. This woman is willing to give you a chance, a second chance. And guess what? For the rest of your life, if she wants to remain married, you can never divorce her. Incredible. You know, they say, we always talk about agunos, that it's not fair. It's not fair a man can get a heter me'rabban. Okay? A woman can only be married to one man. It's not fair. A man can marry 1,000 wives. Shloima HaMelech. He married 1,000 wives. 1,000 was Farish Nepasik. He had 700 regular wives and 300 Pilaksha. David had 18 wives. Okay, the Gemara says that Me'ikar Adin, the Gemara says that you can really marry up to four wives at the same time. Rabbeinu Gershon, no. You only can marry one wife. But if you really want, get ahead to Be'er Rabbanim, you can marry a second wife. Oh, so it's not fair. It's not fair. The Torah gives a man the ability to marry more than one wife, and a woman can never marry more than one husband at one time. Yet, this pasuk is a very fascinating response to that argument. This over here, the Torah is giving a response. It's true, a man can marry more than one wife, but if a man betrays his wife, this is obviously the limited circumstance. But the Torah here is being megal. If a man betrays his wife, he marries a woman, and then he betrays her by making against her a false accusation, the Torah comes down on him with such heaviness, with such intensity, like nothing else. They whip him, they take away his money, and if she wants to give him a second chance, he has no choice. He has to remain married to her for the rest of his life. There's a lot to be said about this. Okay, there is no Rashi on this. Rashi did not want to get into this discussion for whatever reason. Let's consider the Anklus. The Yigbun Mine, they're going to collect from him Meya Silon, 100 coins. A Sela is the same thing as a Shekel. It is very interesting. He adds the word in. You see, they didn't do this. Over here, they should have put this in bold. In this edition online, they always put the extra words in bold, and for some reason here they did not put this word in bold. It says Meya Chesef. Meya what? Silver what? A ma'a, little coins, or 100 shkolim? It doesn't say the word shekel. Now the truth is, the Gemara, this is in the Daf Yomi, only a couple of weeks ago, the Gemara asked this question. The Gemara says, what do you give her? Do you give her shkolim, or do you give her something else? What kind of coins? There are different types of coins. There are small coins, there are big coins. So the Gemara makes a gzereshava. The Gemara makes a gzereshava to the case of Mefate. That's the next case. The case where a man seduces a woman. And in that case, it says the word kesa, it says the word shekel. So we make gzeir shov to the rod that it has to be bedavka shkol. The anshul so meya kesa, the nostu lavi hanado, okay? The yigbun minei me'osil in, the chsof, the yitnun la'avuha, and you give to her father, du'ulam, to the father of the young girl, arei because apei ki brought forth shum, means a reputation, bish, a bad reputation, al besulta di Yisrael, delay, and to him, tehele into, she shall be his wife, les le rishu. Now what does that mean? It says to lo yuchal, he is unable. The Targum translates this word lo yuchal as he doesn't have permission, which means he is able. Now what is the Targum? The Targum over here is saying a halachic principle. Let us say this man goes and he doesn't follow the halacha. He goes to Beis Din. You know, he goes and he writes a get and he gives it to her. Question, is she technically divorced? So what is the question? When it says here, lo yuchal, is the Torah here revoking the power of divorce in this instance? Even if he goes through the effort to actually write and deliver a get to this woman, she's married. She remains married. He does not have the power. The Torah revoked the koyach. You can go give her 1,000 gittin. None of them take effect. She still remains an eishes ish. If she'll be mezana, she'll be chayiv misa. She's still fully married. Is that what it means, lo yuchal? Lo yuchal means that the Torah over here has taken away the koyach of divorce. It just doesn't work. You can do it all you want. It's not going to be effective. She remains in the status of an eishes ish. Or maybe the pshat is no. Lo yuchal, it means we're telling you, we're advising you that you should not do this. But if you do it, it works. The Targum over here seems to indicate that it's the second pshat. Because the Targum is the words les le reshu. You don't have permission. But that means if you do it without permission, it works. Okay, the word reshus is a very important point. When you say that you need reshus, reshus always has a connotation. If I don't ask permission, I can still do it. I can do it, and what I do is effective. It's just not derech eretz. This is not the right thing to do. You have to have derech eretz. If you don't have derech eretz, okay, so you're not a good person. But what you've done is effective. The very fact that the Targum is in less later shul, he tied his lo yuchal l'shalcha, he's teaching you a chiddush. You don't have permission to ever divorce this woman the rest of your life if she still wants to remain married to you. But if you violate the law, and you do give her a bill of divorce, you're divorced. You're divorced. You're a bal aveira, and in Shemayim there'll be accountability for violating the Torah law, but the woman is no longer a married woman. And if the woman now wants to marry someone else, she can marry someone else. Who is going to be to blame? You, because you did something you're not supposed to do, but what you did, it works. As opposed to saying that if you lo yuchal, it doesn't even work. And if it doesn't even work, she would not be allowed to remarry. She would not be allowed to, because she's still called an Eish HaSish. Let's say he dies. Let's say he goes and he gives her a get, and then he dies. Does she fall to Yibum? If you're going to learn that lo yuchal means that the get is ineffective, then she does fall to Yibum. If you learn that lo yuchal means that you're not permitted, it's not correct, but if you do it, it's still effective, and if he were to die, she would not fall to Yibum. Okay, this, for some reason I remember this Targum. This Targum, Leslie Rishus, I think it's a famous Targum, and this sugya, let me see, it's over here in the Ma'atzari. Leslie Rishum, yes, it says over here, he refers you somewhere else. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now we go to pasuk 20. Let's say the husband was on the mark. Indeed, the woman was mezane. Let's say the woman indeed was mezane. It's true. Hadavar hazeh lo nimsu v'sulim lana'aro. She indeed is guilty. She indeed was infidelity. She indeed was mezana between the eris and the mesum. So what do you do then? The memesoya. What does it say in Rashi? The memesoya hadavar be'edim v'hasra shezinsa la'achar erisim. They bring witnesses and they warned her. They actually have real solid proof. Shezinsa. What does the Targum say? V'im kushta. Kushta means emes. Hava piskam hodein. The dovar means this reputation, this rumor. Lo ish tu kochu besum l'ulemta. That there are no besumim. The girl does not have besumim. Indeed, she was mezaneh. Then the next pasuk says, what do you do? Go it's serious and now you take out the narrow. And Pesach Pesavia. You take her to her father's home. Usi Kalua, she gets skila. Okay, this is one of the most severe forms of death. A regular woman that's mezane is chayv chenek, strangulation. But a woman that is mezane, in between the erusin and the nesuin, gets skila. It's a more severe form of death. It's more gruesome. Skila is when you throw a person off the roof. You go to a three-story building and you throw them off the roof head first. And the impact kills them. And if they don't die from the impact, then they throw big stones. They drop very heavy stones on their head to kill them, to finish them off. Doesn't sound like fun. Doesn't sound like they would let children watch this event. The tzil, na'al pesach pesach, it was a little anshei rov avidim with stones v'mesa. And v'mesa she's put to death. Why? Ki osasam nivala b'yisrael. She has done an act that is disgraceful. Over here it says over here in the English, shameful. Okay, a nivala, shameful. It's a good word. A shameful thing in Israel. Liznai space of the okay, I don't know what this word is. Committing fornication. I never heard that word before, never. Znus, zima, infidelity. Znus over here, or an isha zoyna, a woman that goes astray. I don't know what this word is, I never heard this word before, whatever it is. For, you have a dictionary? No. Fornicate, liznais beis aliyah, uviyarto hora mikerecha, you shall eradicate the evil from your midst. This woman, this is the word sweep. Thus, uviyarto, I respectfully disagree with the word thus. It's not thus. You should do. This is uviyarto. You should actively go ahead and eradicate the evil from your midst. What's mean thus? By going and killing her? Thus you've eradicated. Is that what it means? I don't know. That doesn't sound too good. I think it means you should actively go and eradicate her. Let's see. It says over here in the pasuk, El Pesach Beisavi, Rashi says, Ru'u gidulim shegidaltem. Okay, why do you have to execute her on her front lawn? Okay, everyone, that the parents should be embarrassed. Shocking, no? What do the parents have to do with this? Why are the parents being put to shame that their daughter was mezane between the erisin and the nesum? What do the parents do? The parents, they made it, when she was born, they made a kiddush in her honor, a very expensive kiddush for the whole community. And then they sent her to the best Beis Yaakov, and they went to all the PTA meetings, and they sent her to camp, and they did everything right. Everything right. No? And then the school goes and she gets married, and there's a year gap between the Ersin and she's mezane. So then it's Taka Chuchu is mezane with witness and Asra, and now you have to execute her. And where are you going to do it? We're going to do it in public, on her front lawn. Everyone should see that she's being executed in order to put the family to shame. Who says the parents did something wrong? Okay, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. Because certainly today, you read the magazines, they don't even talk about it so much anymore in the magazine. I don't read the magazines anymore. I don't have time for magazines anymore. But in all the Jewish magazines, the first thing they're going to tell you is the way children turn out, very, you know, of course, parents have a major impact. But if chas v'shalom is a problem, it's not, who says it's the fault of the parents? Who's to say? Mind your own business. You don't know. No one knows nothing. You see parents that do everything wrong. Every possible thing that you're not supposed to do, they do. And their children are gems. They're the pride of the community. And there are parents that do everything right, Rahman al-Islam, they have problems. Who's to say? So, you're going to say that we're dealing in the time of the Torah? Time of the Torah, so then, if you're good, if you're a good parent, the child's going to be good. If you're not a good parent, the child's going to be bad. Who says? Mehecha Teisa? This is a very big question. This is a very tough question, which I have no answer for. If you know a good answer, let me know. It says, Rashi, it says, you kill her on the front lawn of her parents' home. Ru'u gidulim shegidalte. In other words, Rashi seems to be saying, you raise this child. It's your fault. This tragedy happened because you were not good parents. I'm sorry, it's a tremendous chiddush to say that. Go read some of these parenting books. It's not always the case. Do everything right, and it is a certain siyata d'shmaya. Okay, whatever means it means, ansha'ira, the mind would call ansha'ira. This is a community event. Everyone has to come to the stoning of the girl that was mezana. Liznois beis avia, kimoi biveis avia. She was mezana in the beis avia. Right? Liznois beis avia, kimoi liznois, she was mezana beis avia, while she was in her parents' home. But she was mezana because she's not yet 12 years and 6 months. She's not yet 12 years and 6 months. She's only 12 years old. In between, she is still under the authority, jurisdiction of her father. And therefore, when she was mezana under the shlita of her father, therefore the parents are responsible. I remember I once spoke to a very big menahel. I remember when we were talking, I don't know, they were talking about he's a menahel of an elementary school, a very popular elementary school. I don't want to say the name for whatever reason. So they were talking about, you know, today children have a lot of insurance, the internet, and all these other things. So they were talking and they were saying, well, what does the yeshiva do? And in the part of the conversation, the menahel said that in his experience, he's been already there for a long, long time, he said that until through eighth grade, the parents and the yeshiva, if they want, can totally control every single moment of a child's life. They can be under 24/7 surveillance if they want, and they do. Actually, this yeshiva, they pretty much do. He said, once they get past eighth grade, they're on their own. There's nothing. That's it. It's over. It is impossible for parents and yeshiva to supervise a child past that age. They're on their own. It's now trust. You hope and pray all of the koichas and tefillas that you put into the children, that now they'll make the right decisions and they won't go and do foolish things. But until they get through eighth grade, I remember how he said it. If we want, I don't know if they want. Not every parent wants to go and, you know, control their children's lives. Maybe that's, you know, what is communism, socialism. I don't know if they want, but if the yeshiva wants, every second of the day, from the time they wake up in the morning till they go to sleep at night, they can be under supervision. And we you can control what they see, what they do, what they hear, if you want. Once you get past that, There's nothing you can do. It's between them and Hashem. And he was basically saying is that the opportunity to instill values in a child properly is only when they're very young. You only have until they're like 12, 13 years old. That's it. After that, there's nothing, that's a mitzvah. So it's very interesting over here what it says over in this pasuk. The halacha of a motzi shemra, the Gemara in the Daf Yomi only a couple of weeks ago said very clearly, it expires at 12 years and 6 months. When a girl reaches 12 years and 6 months, this whole parasha no longer applies. Even between Eris and Nesuin, there's no the husband goes, he lies. I mean, there's no malchus, there's no money, there's no yuchol shal kol yamav. This whole parsha, you know, it's almost like the Torah says that certain parshas, they never ever happened. And the only reason why they're written in the Torah is to teach you musar, to teach you concepts, but practically speaking, they're not really relevant. It's very, this whole thing also, it's a 6-month period of time. And there are a lot of, it's very elaborate. Torah goes through many, many details. Many details. And many other mitzvahs, Torah just merames with one word. And you have to have dafim of Gemara to figure out what the halacha is. Here you have so many psukim giving me so many details for a situation that's like so rare, it's so uncommon, it's so rare, and especially when you want to limit the whole thing to a girl who's 12, between 12 years and 12 years and 6 months, who is still under the authority of her father. And now when they're going to kill her, they're going to kill her in her father's home, because Lizia, she's still a resident of her father's home. So therefore the father bears responsibility for this crime, for this behavior, and therefore the parents have been put to shame. Let's see, Targum says, the Apkun Yos Ulemtel Mishrabes Avua, the gate of her father's home, the Yirgir Muna, they will stone her, and Oshekar, to the people of the city, the Avnaya, Usimus, should be put to death. Are because of das kalona? That's called a nevola. How does he translate the word kalona in the English here? A disgraceful act. See here, it said shameful in the English of the Chumash, and here in the Targum it says disgraceful act. Probably someone else did the translation. That's why he's probably taking a translation from somewhere else. It's very good to have a translation. I like this translation. You do over here. Kilono, disgraceful act, be Israel, Lizanoa, oh, let's see how he translates that, Lizanoa, promiscuity, promiscuous, by behaving promiscuously. Doesn't say this very fancy word over here, fornication. Here it says, behaving promiscuously. Okay, let's go back to the Hebrew. Okay. Lizna base avua, lizanoa base avua. You see, Targum doesn't say kimobives. Maybe there's a machlekes. Usifale ave divish libeinach. What is usifale? Means to remove. Will be arta. How do they translate it in English? Eliminate. That's a great word. Eliminate. And here there's a chiddush. Here the chiddush over here is. The chiddush over here is, it doesn't say uviyarto horo. Targum says, it's not the concept of ego. It's the evil doer. Ovei divish, the practitioner of evil, mi beinoch. Rashi didn't talk about it altogether. But I wonder out loud with you when it says, liznois beisavia, kimoi bivesavia. Is the Targum arguing on that? Is the Targum arguing on that point? When the Targum says, "Are kolona bishol lizano base avu avuha," I don't know. Chor is the same thing. All right, we're going to stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Be well. Mayor, did you call me before?